You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Okay, it's going to be a new Tuesday because I'm traveling again. Woo! Not going to say where I'm at. Okay, I hear you. Woo! Okay.
Let's go.
Let's see. It's more like of a tropical punch type of thing.
Oh. With a
tropical fruit punch type of thing. But I haven't had any caffeine, and I definitely need it right now.
No, at this moment,
I feel like I've just experienced that movie where they go like, what is it? Trains, planes, automobiles, and you know, I feel like it's been an ongoing, nonstop, in the air, on the ground, over the sea, over here. And it normally my travel isn't this way, but it's an interesting story I have to tell you all. And it has to do, here's the most key component that is like, will stick with everybody and it'll probably trend: garlic salt.
Oh.
Okay. I want to tell you why garlic salt is a key factor today. And why I'm
curious about this one.
Garlic salt. So if you know, if you hear about garlic salt, you're gonna know why. And it's gonna be Elizabeth's advice when you're traveling. Oh. It's gonna be one of those days. And oh wait, hold on. Go eat. And we're gonna tell you all why Go Eat also. And hey, if you guys have been listening, I said June 6th, key day. That was our bounce. I said our next cycle is June 6th, key day. That was our bounce, number one. I mean, I don't want to tell you all like the secret sauce yet. And then also 2 weeks ago, I told you all in advance, you know, I don't like to, let's see, what's the word for it? When you're trading day to day, right? You take profits, you go back in at lower entries, you exit at higher entries, and you range trade. And so across all markets, you could see certain things building up if you're a trader. If you're holding long term, you always want to dollar cost average and take and buy and keep buying in small increments, you know, for that 30-year cycle until you retire. Again, do your own research, not financial advice. But when you're trading, we watch cycles. We watch minute cycles, hourly cycles. Well, actually, minute, 5 minute, 15, you know, on charts,
right,
and stuff.
Right.
But I usually predict 1 month, 3 months, 6 months out so I can see what's happening in the cycles. But we watch cycles, right? So if you're trading cycles and you're range trading, last time we were on the air, I said, make sure you profit take. And that we had all time highs in the stock market. And guess what happened? If you listened and profit took, we hit all time highs in the stock market. If you're trading that way, you are ahead of the game.
Right.
But again, do your research, not financial advice. I also said June 6th is our cycle. And then we're going to talk about it. Why at the halfway mark. But I just wanted to say go ETH, just to put
go
it in
ETH.
There. And I'm going to tell you why go ETH also, because it has its cycles.
Right.
And it is, and predictive based on historics, there's a target number that it's going to potentially hit. Do your own research, not financial advice, because it did exactly the pattern it was supposed to do. But again, do your own research, not financial advice. And I need about 12 hours of sleep.
I'm here sitting waiting to hear about the garlic salt.
Garlic salt. Okay, garlic salt is a key thing that y'all are going to remember forever. Actually, garlic salt is one of my favorite ingredients when I cook. I like garlic salt. I'm into garlic and garlic salt. And now it's going to become like one of those stories that I'm going to remember forever and ever and ever. Okay.
Oh my God.
Number one, where in the world is Elizabeth? We're not going to tell you where I am right now. but garlic salt is for the story. Okay. I'm looking at blue water and palm trees, but it's dark where I'm at.
Oh.
I'm not. Yeah, it's dark out right now. So I'm looking at the ocean in the dark. From my balcony, though, I can see the ocean, palm trees in the dark. We're not going to tell you where I'm at yet because we're doing this thing. You know, where in the world is Elizabeth? And we have the websites. We haven't officially put them up or launched them, so y'all don't get to see them this week. But on our website, that you'll be able to find out like where in the world we're traveling, backstories about what we've been doing, fun adventures to take without garlic salt. don't take garlic salt. Fun adventures to take, discounted air that you get, like luxury air, luxury suites at like where I'm staying. It's comped basically, so it's free, and I'm in a luxury suite overlooking the ocean. But again, do your research, not financial advice on that too.
Oh my God.
No. And then don't take all your salt. Okay. I'm like weaving the garlic salt story into this right now, but we're going to have a fun week, fun week. Okay. So today is June 16th. We said our next cycle is going to be June 6th. Where in the world is Elizabeth? Tropical punch. One other thing I want to talk about too is like matchas have been trending. Jeeps have been trending. They've been having their highest sales. Matchas like highest sales right now. Porsches are having their highest sales right now too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The most random cars, like those are some of my favorite cars, and we love telling stories about them because I can relate to them. But I still am seeing Jeeps everywhere. And if you guys know what a Jeep, you know, the Jeep story is, we've been talking about the Jeep since like October, but the Jeep story about like whatever you subconsciously think of comes into the forefront and you become aware of it. And Jeep is one of the stories that we told back in October. And now there's like Jeeps everywhere, or I'm just aware of them, but I'm seeing them. I'm seeing them everywhere. And I like, now I'm starting to consider like, maybe I want a Jeep.
Oh my God.
I've had sports cars and Mopars and fast cars. And I'm like, should I or shouldn't I? But
My neighbor just got a Jeep, and I'm tempted to go ask them if they were listening to the show before they bought it.
Oh, can you imagine? Instead, like the whole entire world is Jeeps now, like AI. You're welcome, Jeep. we are not sponsored by Jeep. It's just one of our stores, and it tended to trend, and now they are having their highest sales.
Oh my God.
Same thing with Porsche. They're having their highest sales. Matcha is Thai tea and horchata. Like, horchata is now the thing, too. So Taco Tuesday, if you're in from California, like, we're based out of L.A., right? So it's L.A. Talk Radio. I travel the world. Joseph is in another country also.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so we're in two different locations all the time. But if you're from California, you know how much, like, we love Mexican food. Like, people from California, Mexican food is our favorite thing. We have probably the best Mexican food in the world. Except for maybe Mexico, but we do have the best Mexican food in the whole entire world. So like SoCal has the great Mexican food. So if you're in LA or San Diego or Orange County, like we have the best Mexican food. And basically to have Mexican food, you could create Mexican food of almost like out of anything, as long as you have a tortilla or tortilla chips. Like you don't necessarily even have to have that. You can have rice. And some form of meat, but like seasoned meat is the best. I'm going to be really hungry, like carnitas or like carne asada. Those are just like some of the well-known ones. And if you add cheese, sour cream, salsa or pico de gallo and guacamole, voila, you have Mexican food.
Oh, it sounds so good.
Now I'm hungry. And some kind of good sauce, like good marinade for the meat or good sauce, like for enchiladas, like the red sauce or chicken mole or Like, if you're from California, and I'm talking about all this, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And if you're from California, you also have your favorite taco shop or your favorite place that you go to that is like your place. It's the place that you grew up with. It's a place that you go back to. It's a place that you, when you think of Mexican food, that's like the place. So if you're all from like California or you visit California, you've got to go to like the taco places, like the Mexican food is just like amazing. And growing up in California, like our thing, if you talk about chips and salsa, you'd always have like the never-ending bowl of chips and salsa that you would fill up. Like they bring them out to your table, and I'm really hungry. They bring them out to your table. They bring them out to your table and you have chips and salsa like with your drinks before you get your meal and you fill up on chips and salsa and then you end up taking home your meal like you know wherever you're at whatever restaurant you're at but like
Right.
that's the thing so now I'm really hungry but so like we've been trending so Horchata is like one of the favorite drinks. It's like a sweetened rice milk, basically drink that goes great with Mexican food, especially when something's spicy. And I've named all these drinks like I love, 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 love spice and garlic salt. You don't know why in a second. I love and when you have spicy food. When you have spicy food, you need like a drink to counterbalance the spice. So, like spicy food in Japan or something, then you'd have matcha, but it's also healthy for you. If you're having Thai food, you have spicy Thai food. You have Thai tea, which is like the dark red tea with milk and sugar, and it counterbalances the spice. And then spicy Mexican food, then you would have like horchata, which is a sweet rice drink like that counterbalances the spice. So all those are tend to be trending right now too, but y'all have to try them. I'm hoping I'm
Yes,
making you
oh,
hungry. I'm hoping I'm making you all hungry on your drive home. You're like,
I
thanks a lot. But our other one is now fruit punch.
Oh, I've had a lot of that. I can get behind the fruit punch.
Fruit
Oh my
punch,
God.
fruit tropical fruit punch. So
Oh.
it's like the sweet. So like papayas and mangoes and pineapple and a
Mango and stuff
mixture
like
of like
that,
mixture of all these juices come together and you can have it the virgin style, which is just a fruit punch, or you can have the rum version of
right?
it, which I'm not having right now, of course. I'm too tired for that one, but then it counterbalances like the spicy food of the Caribbean.
Oh
So,
my God. That sounds really good. That sounds like really good right now.
yeah, so
Oh.
we have tropical fruit punch. So my story.
Yes. And then I'll add
Are y'all
something
ready
that.
for my story?
Yes.
And
Oh, I can't wait.
at the halfway mark, we're gonna shoot for the market. I tend to talk a little bit longer, I notice, and we end up coming at around the 40, but we're going to tell you all the good things in the market, what's going on, predictions in the market, what we anticipate is going to be happening. And remember, we trade cycles. So 1 minute, 5 minute, 15 minute, 30 minute, 1 hour, you know, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month cycles. So we look at cycles. If you're a Whenever you're trading long term, you always want to hold long term. Stock market's going to give you an 8 to 12% return. This year, I think it gave like a 30 to 40% return. So it counterbalances, right? So holding long term investments always good. So you always look for the long term. If you're trading daily, though, you're going to have fluctuations in the market and you enter at the low and you exit at the high. You enter at the low and exit at the high. And you range trade, but we're on an upward moving chart right now. Hint, hint. Do your own research, not financial advice. But we're going to talk about that at the 30 and why. So, my story. You want to hear my
Yes.
story?
Oh, I want to hear
Okay. So,
it.
I travel a lot. And I just was in Hawaii for 3 weeks. I ended up being in Hawaii for 3 weeks. If you guys listened to my story, I got smoking deal on air, $5 for my air. I got a 2-bedroom suite, which was a villa in Maui across from the ocean for $300 a week. The other deal I got was in Kona, I got it's walking distance to the, like, you step out to your patio and across the street is the ocean also. And I got a studio. The first week was $200 and ended up staying another week. I got sick, so I ended up staying, which was probably a good thing. And got the third week for $150 for the whole entire week. And normally these go for $450 to $750 a night plus tax and resort fees and all the other stuff that it costs. So like a week would normally cost about, you know, $6,000. You know, $4,000 to $6,000, and I got it for $300 and $200. Oh my God. And my flight was only $5. So, since I was traveling there, I also have a tradition. I go somewhere else, May, June, which I get 5 to 7 nights for free, an oceanfront suite, and my flight was $5 for this one too, but I looked at 2 months in advance.
Oh my God.
So
I'm waiting for the garlic salt.
Ready for the garlic salt story. So when you travel a lot, you tend to get picked up on the radar, I guess. You might want to say, I got picked up on the radar. I have TSA clearance. I have a global pass, which means that I can travel anywhere in the world. And when I leave, I just go to the kiosk and I put my passport in, get a printout, walk through customs, and then move on. But when I go in, I'm on TSA clearance, right? Because it's part of the global pass. And I highly recommend two things for y'all. And because of the garlic salt, I recommend it even more. Number one is to buy travel insurance.
Oh, my God.
And so whenever you're traveling, I have travel insurance that covers me the whole entire year. And it goes about 30 to 45 days on continuous travel. And if I come back home, then it re-kicks it off and starts it again. But I have a year-long policy on travel insurance. And my travel insurance only costs me about $500 to $600 for the whole entire year. And it includes emergency evacuation. It includes lost luggage. It includes delayed or interrupted trip, canceled trip, medical, $750 and dental. And I've always had travel insurance because, you know, traveling a lot, you tend to have more travel stories about travel insurance.
Right.
Because you increase the odds and the probability that something's probably going to happen. And that's why I have travel insurance.
Remember one of my times
we told this story before. I told you guys this story before. I got stuck on one of the islands of Greece for an extra 9 days because the ferries went on strike. And they paid for all of my cancellations and all my rebooking. And I had to wait for the ferries to come back so I could come back home because the ferries went on strike in Greece. So one of the reasons why you have travel insurance. But this one, it was an hour before I was supposed to fly. And the flight said it was delayed an hour. So it got pushed back. Then I got notification that the flight's delayed again. And then I got notification that the flight was canceled. So out of the blue, the flight is canceled. And this, I booked this 2 months ago. So I'm like, okay, I have these reservations. I have comps. Everything's free. They're expecting me on this certain date. And if I don't show up, then they're going to charge me a cancellation fee, even though it's free.
Right.
So I have to find a way to make this work. So I called up, rebooked it, and was able to get another flight, but had to take a different flight pattern. So now think about this. I went to Hawaii for 3 weeks, came back, was traveling, and then went back on the other side of the world and have multiple flights. And again, I have TSA, Global Pass. They do background checks on me. They make sure, like, my passport, everything, so that I can travel easier. And so for some reason, they're being stricter at the airports, which is great. So, I'd rather be protected and I'd rather be safe to make
Right.
sure, just in case,
Yep.
And I do this thing where I like, because I travel a lot, so I get groceries at a lot of the places I go, because if I ate every single day, I'd weigh 5,000 pounds, and and my food would cost more than like my travel does. So
Right.
I do groceries. So I always have to have my coffee. So as long as I have coffee in the morning, I'm happy, because when you're traveling all day and the next day you need coffee, it's good to have coffee. And I love coffee and cocoa. And then I'll take like just a couple things. So when you travel, you take the things that are kind of make you feel at home.
Right.
That, and I took garlic salt with me this time. If you know where this is leading to now, and I actually bought the garlic salt in Hawaii and brought it back with me, and then brought it with me again, and my luggage got flagged with garlic salt. And
Oh
when they did
my
a swipe, and when they did a swipe, somehow the garlic salt flagged the swipe.
God. How?
I don't
It's salt.
know. I don't
Oh
know.
my
So,
God. Never travel with
lesson
garlic
is,
salt.
don't take garlic salt with you, number one. Number two, make sure you have travel insurance for delayed flights, because you got pulled over because you have garlic salt in your luggage. Number three,
Oh my
make sure you
God.
have enough time when you arrive at the airport if you get pulled over for having garlic salt.
Oh my God.
And
Tell
so
me
they
you
like,
had time. You had time. You had
I
time.
did. I ended up having time because it was like the last leg of my flight, and all the other ones I didn't get flagged. And then this one, they at the last leg of my flight, because I ended up having to take like three different flights to get here in time. That's what travel insurance is for, to make sure you get what you're supposed to get. But the last leg of my flight, I had like a 2 hour gap, which was great because like I was waiting, but I got flagged for garlic salt. So they like searched my luggage, swiped all my luggage, pat me down, did like little test on my garlic salt to see if it was
Oh
garlic
my
salt or not.
God.
And I'm on the TSA, like the line TSA, and they're like going through my luggage and like looking at the garlic salt and like spray. I'm like, I hope nothing's wrong with that garlic salt, because I've ate that garlic salt before. So it better be good. And it never left my possession, so I hope that it's good garlic salt.
God.
So they had like do the little chemical test on the garlic salt to make sure it was clean.
Once they
But
tested, they're like they stick their finger and they taste it. Oh yeah, that's good. It's good.
like I'm like, I ate that stuff before. I sprinkled it on my food the other day. I hope it's good.
Oh
But
my God.
when it all came down to it all, I got my garlic salt back.
Yay, let's go.
And hence I am tired right now.
Oh my
But
God. Oh my God.
that's my one of my adventures that you experienced. So I have travel insurance for like delayed and canceled flights. The airline ended up giving me like a $100 credit voucher for my next flight, that if I book, it gave me a $100 credit voucher. They gave me $15 for like a food comp. They gave me a hotel stay for a delayed night on hotel stay. They rebooked me because I was in the front row, so they rebooked me on the next flights in the front row. So like the airline took care of me from the cancellation of my original flight. But I got to experience this and tell you all the
Oh my
story
God.
about garlic salt. But
Oh my God.
having travel insurance gave me the opportunity that, like, if I needed to, I could rebook it myself. If I,
Right.
had to, I could have stayed in a hotel, which I ended up staying another night in a hotel. And then the airline has like certain things in place too. If the airline's at fault for the cancellation of the flight, which I'd rather be safe and them cancel the flight if there was something going on versus taking that flight, number one.
Right.
So cheers to them for doing that. Yes, it's an inconvenience when you travel, you know, like you have delays or the flight's late. But, you know, I'd rather be safe in the air and make sure that they're taking care of the people and then having that slight little inconvenience. Same thing going through TSA. I don't mind at all because I know people in, you know, like DOD and, you know, Homeland Security and all the other things. And like, and half my family's in the police department. So like, kudos to them. You know, I'd rather them right. make sure everybody's safe. Even if it, I got singled out for garlic salt, you know, I'm 100% happy with that one.
Oh my
I'll
God,
take that. I'll take salt. That every day. I'll take that every day as long as like everybody is safe, right? If
right,
it inconveniences
right.
me one day, I'm all for it just because I know that they're keeping everybody safe. And same thing with the airlines, even though it was canceled, I had to rebook and I had to like go on three different flights just to make sure I got here on time. Kudos to them because they kept everybody safe too. And they took care of the people that were inconvenienced and made sure that everybody was made whole as possible based on that also. And having travel insurance as my ultimate backup, if anything happened, I'm delayed and they didn't take care of me, my travel insurance is there too. So highly recommend travel insurance, highly recommend TSA PreCheck, even though I got flagged, and Global Pass. Global Pass is for 5 years. It's like, I think it's $100. It goes with your passport. You only pay $100, but you get TSA PreCheck on your Global Pass too. And when you enter into the country, you just go to a kiosk instead of standing that 3 hour long line to come back into the country. You just go to a kiosk. You put your passport on the kiosk. It gives a printout. You go into your own custom line, and then you leave, like, in 5 minutes versus standing in a three-hour line. Plus, it gives you a TSA PreCheck, and it's called Global Pass, or GOES, and highly recommend it. And I've had mine on my passport the last couple passport renewals, so highly nice. Recommend that, too.
I have to do so that. You save hours in lines.
Yeah, so... So, like, coming back from one of the islands, I think it's Aruba. Aruba has, like, a three-hour line to get back yep. in. So, they make you go 2 hours plus 3 hours. So, you have to go 5 hours before your flight because you have to stand in line for three and then have that normal 2 hours before your flight just so you have enough cushion. But with a Global Pass, I just go right through it, which is great. So, highly recommend. So, thank you to, you know, TSA for... flagging my garlic salt. Thank you to the airline. Thank you to the airline who canceled my flight because, you know, you're making me safe. So both of these people have made me safe. Like both of these, you know, groups of, you know, making people safe, basically. Sorry,
right,
I'm tired.
Yeah.
After all these flight and the garlic salt incident. But, you know, even though it inconvenienced me, I was like over there, like the guy's like, oh, she's going to be mad. You know, like, here's your garlic salt bag. You know, like, he's like, here you go. You can go now. I like,
oh my
you know,
God.
It's okay. I 100% appreciate the work that they do. They're keeping us safe, you know. So kudos to them. So anyway,
right.
that's my garlic salt story. And now... every time you look at garlic salt, think of me. Just kidding. now we have like garlic salt trending. But like,
oh
garlic salt had its highest sales. Just I don't recommend taking it through your luggage.
Oh my God. And speaking
so
of unintentional
on my way
things,
back,
quickly. Oh,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, speaking of unintentional things getting trending. Last episode, you mentioned a fruit at the start of the episode, and it was bananas. And now banana extract is trending.
Oh my goodness gracious!
I found out right before we came on that banana extract is a thing now, and people are using it in baking. So I just wanted to add that.
Oh my goodness! I love banana though, so it's one of my favorites. And they have to do it. We said banana matcha. Just that was. Be really good.
That would be
imagine
really
having
good.
Banana matcha. I want banana monster there.
It'd be like sweet and that's something that has to happen.
It'd be like a daiquiri with matcha, like a banana. Banana daiquiris are so good, but I wonder what it tastes like with matcha. So we did mention banana matcha. So okay, market. Since we've gone over with our garlic salt story here. Markets. Okay, so optimism. There's like a couple reasons why, and I want to tell you all, go ETH. Do your own research, not financial advice. Again, like, remember, we watch trending, we are predictive AI, we watch markets, cycles, historicals, and then predictive on the future. We have over 1 billion points of data on our tokens right now, too. So we collect a lot of data, and we're building out a lot of predictive stuff based on our data. Like, the cleaner and the more data you have, the more refined information you're going to get. So when you're getting advice from people, make sure that they have data, statistics, probability to back support everything. Do back tests, historicals, verify their data. And so when you're getting information, just don't go off of what somebody says, but make sure that they have like scientific research or data to back up their findings. So based on the information, we have, number one, it's the 15th of the month. So it's our highest volume and cycle on monthly. It's right now. So people get paid typically on the 1st and the 15th of the month. It's the 15th of the month right now. So a lot of money comes into the market, number one. Number two, the Fed has been meeting right now. We have a new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh. Powell is still in office. There was a 97% consensus that the market was going to, the rates are going to stay flat, which means that they wouldn't decrease rates or they wouldn't increase rates. They're going to keep them flat. CPI and PPI numbers came out also. And then CPI, we have higher energy costs with CPI, but if you take it out, we actually... They thought CPI was going to be higher than it was, and it came in a little bit lower. So that's optimism for the market. We also said that June 6th was the start of our next cycle up. And if you look at the ETH and BTC charts, we bounced on June 6th, like to the day. We told you all that, like the end of May. We also warned you, you know, to take profits in the stock market. And that was Tuesday and Wednesday, they had a huge pullback in the stock market. So hopefully you all took profits. If you're doing long-term hold, do your research, not financial advice. Long-term hold, you always like dollar cost average. You hold long-term, you're going to get 8 to 12%. You don't buy and sell. It's only if like you're range trading or if you're trading where you have volatility, then you want to go in your cycles. But if you're holding long-term, hold blue chips long term. You know, that's in 30 years, you're going to gain 8 to 12% annually over, even when it has a 40% year or has a negative 10% year or a plus 12% year or minus 5 on stock market overall. Historically, you know, you're going to get an 8 to 12% return. So you're not going to move that money. SpaceX also launched, which they say was like one of the highest IPOs. But the bulk of his money has come from Starlink.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Elon was SpaceX. So I got involved in aerospace in 2020. I went in to listen during COVID. I went to listen to a NASA webinar, which they're talking about like their key points, problem solving, what they need in the future, what's going on, and everybody put their inputs, and it was heavy in satellites. And so I got involved in satellites back then because each satellite that goes up into space has its own software. It has its own individual software. And every time Elon launches or somebody else launches a satellite in space, there's no restrictions on airspace. So Elon tried to put as many satellites in space as possible, as fast as possible. And this was back in 2019 and 2020, and there was only about 2,500 back then. Every time he would launch his, schools, counties, fire, police would piggyback, or weather would piggyback on the rocket and launch their little mini satellites also so that they could collect data too. But it was specialized to whatever they were researching or they're doing. So they put, it was like a race to put as many satellites in space. And in doing so too, he created Starlink, because now he has multiple satellites in space that gives us, you know, and I was thinking I need a Starlink where I'm at right now, but multiple satellites in space so that we can get internet or Wi-Fi remotely. Countries that have no access to cable or types of Wi-Fi now have access. If you're out in the middle of the desert or in the middle of, you know, the ocean, you have access to Wi-Fi, which has helped me in the past too. So the bulk of his money, the bulk of the profits have come from Starlink. SpaceX actually has also helped NASA, because Dragon was launched in, I went and actually watched the launch of Dragon at NASA at the Kennedy Space Center. The first time that U.S. astronauts have been back in space in 20 years was done on Dragon, which is Elon's SpaceX.
Right.
So he's helped, even though maybe it's not profitable, he's moved us along farther in going back out to space again, because there was a like a hiatus on launches and astronauts into space, and we were going in China or Russia's space launches instead prior to this. And then Dragon was the first one back in 20 years that put astronauts back into space off of U.S. soil. So kudos to him to that too. So the IPO also became available where people, commoners, before you had to qualify for the IPO, and now you could go through a broker and get on the IPO. The people that made the most money are the people that invested in SpaceX and knew about it a long time ago.
Right.
And so like Google was one of the first people. There's like quite a few that we named. They invested privately, and then they got shares of it. And so when I was researching, like back in 2020 and 2019, when Elon was doing all this stuff, I'm like, okay, how can I invest in SpaceX? And like one of the biggest recommendations was to go into Google, because Google had a higher amount of shares of SpaceX. So when SpaceX launched on IPO, you're ahead of the game because they invested in it already.
Right.
So yes. So it's a kickoff on the IPO. A lot of money went into it. If you got in early before, this is where you made the money. If you got in after, it's more like a fun thing to get into.
Right.
And now like OpenAI, Anthropic, and somebody else is doing an IPO now also. I have to look it up. But now this is kind of like the thing. And what you all don't realize is tokens do the same thing. They launch IPOs every day, which is basically a new business launching through a token every day. It puts liquid right. in, it launches, and it goes through the same exact cycle that a stock IPO goes through. People buy in early. Like, so when Google bought in early on SpaceX, that was called like a pre-sell. Right?
Right.
They got in early. They pre-invested on a token. It's called a pre-sell. So you invest early. Then when it goes to launch, they vest you, which means you can't sell until it hits a certain target or a certain time period. So you don't dump the chart. So the people that invested in SpaceX, their stocks are vested, where they couldn't sell off except for a certain percentage once it hit a certain target, which prevented it from the chart dumping. They do that in tokens also. It ran up really fast, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, and then had profit taking, which happens in a cycle of a token also.
Right.
Then it had a bounce, and then it went back up again on the bounce, which happens in a cycle of tokens. So if you study trading, you study tokens, you understand IPOs, all these things cycle through the same thing, and you can get in pre, like a pre-sell, pre-revenue, pre-launch. You would have your vesting, it would take off, you profit take as soon as it hits a certain things, comes back down. On the bounce, you go back in again, and then you let it ride back up again, and then you hold some of it for a long term, some of it you de-risk and take out your initials. So all these things that we've been talking to you about for 2.5 years, these IPOs go through the same cycles, and so do tokens. So that's been going on in the market. So we have volume in the market on the 15th. We have the Fed meeting tomorrow, which they said anticipate the market's going to be flat, right? The rates are going to be flat.
Right.
We had CPI come out, which wasn't actually didn't, it came out less than they anticipated. We have hypothetical optimism in the, trying to say this politically correct, in the Strait. So oil prices going down. And if you notice, a lot of traders, like people who've been trading and investing, even watching cycles where gas should go up or oil should go up, and instead it goes down. And when, like, based on of certain events, like gold should go up on certain days, and instead it would go down. It would do the opposite of what it should do historically. And so usually what we found out is when the markets have been trading in the opposite, it's because somebody has insider news is about ready to come out in 2 to 4 days. So we've been watching what's been happening with ETH. And 3 weeks before the Fed meet, that's when we had our pullback. And if you've been listening to all of our episodes, the price of a asset or commodity is built in ahead of time of an event that's about ready to occur. And then always 2 to 3 weeks before the Fed meets, we always have a reaction in the market. And the reaction in the market is what they anticipate is going to happen in the future. But what we anticipate is there's not going to be a rate cut, but we also don't anticipate a rate hike right now.
Right.
And the market's going to be flat. And if we get energy costs down, potentially there might be a rate cut in the future, then again, which would stimulate the economy, not from energy, but because businesses and consumers are spending money and growing that way, not by falsifying it with energy costs and having a false sense of inflation to spur the market on. But it would come from consumer spending and businesses' growth and businesses spending more money, incurring new technology, hiring more people. That's the way that we want inflation to be created, not from energy costs.
Right.
And so when we have stagnation and we don't have growth and we don't have stuff going, they find ways to inflate the market so that it mimics what is supposed to naturally occur when interest rates are cut. If interest rates were cut, we wouldn't have a reason to have energy costs go higher. Energy costs going higher basically played out what we wanted to play out with businesses and consumer spending and growth and technology. So when we see these cycles go on, and if you look at the big picture, you understand what they're doing, then you're able to go out into the future and predict what will happen in the future. And when we have things going back to normal and energy costs going down, and potential rate cuts in the future, then we're going to have growth again and then stimulating the market. And so that's our cycle that we're coming into. And then looking at historics, again, this is do your own research, not financial advice. This is why I'm optimistic on the markets. We have the Stables Act that came out last year, and we have the Clarity Act that they're anticipating passing, which will... it's not needed necessarily, but it adds more stability into crypto markets and financial markets. It's not, we want it to pass. We don't need it to pass for us to have growth. But whenever ETH has gone through its cycles, whenever it's been on one of its bottom cycles, within 1 to 6 months, it's 4 times its bottom on its cycle. And you can go back and look at charts on ETH. And if you take a screenshot back and you look at the range of ETH, you can see it sidewards moving up to the right diagonal chart, and you can target where the bottoms were. And the bottom that we just had was the actual bottom. And then you can see the growth potential based on the historical markets. And do your own research, not financial advice, but we have a potential to hit our all-time high of 4 times of our bottom, which would put us at what we are at 1550 times four. Yep. So that would put us at 6200 at an all-time high on ETH on our next cycle up. Again, this is a do your own research, not financial advice, but the chart is moving in that direction and it's doing the cycle in that direction. And all these things that are happening in the market are moving in that direction too. So we are optimistic. Woo! Remember, we trade, we see cycles, we look at data, we do scientific research, predictive modeling based on back test historicals data, and then take into consideration all the other factors that take into place, plus quote unquote the wild cards. but optimism long term, remember long term hold stocks, markets, you know, optimism, 8 to 12% growth. Again, optimistic about companies growing and building out a better world. Optimism about crypto because it has so many use cases on it. Has contracts. There's a lot of things that we have the stable coins. We have the Clarity Act. You know, there's, I could go on a list of all these other things too.
There's so many. So things.
Do your research, not financial advice. If you're new to it, always invest $10 to test it out, try it out, see what we're talking about. But don't bring garlic salt in your luggage. Is my closing statement. Have travel insurance, get a global pass. Thank those people that are keeping us safe.
Thank you.
Go have some tropical fruit punch. Enjoy the world. And where in the world is Elizabeth? We'll tell you next visit.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. I don't even know. Okay.
Yeah, you don't know yet. Okay. Bye, everyone. Have a happy week. Go ETH.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.